Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1948-1949 season. Before we get into tonight's episode, I said I'd talk a little bit about the polling that we've been doing lately. Well, let's see. The poll of your favorite shows that I don't have on, that you want on, it came out to be the number one show was the Groucho Marx Show, which I started bringing you yesterday. I decided to bring Groucho. The poll was obviously, the ballot was stuffed. But I figure if a few of you are wanting it so bad that you're willing to vote multiple times and everything, that's all right. We'll bring you the show. The other thing is, Groucho puts on a great show. It's very different from any of my other shows. And I've just recently run into a batch of episodes that's very complete, very easy to navigate, and so I just didn't realize there were so many Groucho shows still around. So there's a nice, you know, 5-year run of his shows or more that's very solid. So anyway, so you might want to tune in Monday nights to check out Groucho Marx. Now, leaving Groucho alone, the other poll that I did recently last week was a poll on which what you guys would like me to poll to find more information on, creating your own poll. And I had a lot of great ideas. What I've decided to do is I'm going to try and remember if I can to each poll have an other option that you can check. And usually most of my polls, you can put multiple options so you can do, you know, pick the answer you want plus hit other. And if you hit other, feel free to ignore that poll, but just put what you would like another poll to be about. You know, I would like a poll on Mel Blanc's favorite character Mel Blanc plays on the show, whether it's Polly or whether it's the polar bear or whether it's the announcer at the train station and so forth. You know, whatever you want, a poll like that or some other poll. Just suggest, because I'm going to need constant suggestions if we're going to keep this polling going. But for this week, I've decided to ask the poll question, once I'm done going through all the Jack Benny shows, okay, because however you vote on this poll is not going to change anything the way I present it. I mean, I'm locked into presenting for the next couple years anyway, Jack, 4 times a week, and then we have the shows from 80 years old 5 times a week. It's just the way it's going to be, so I can get through all the podcasts. I want to be able to do introductions for every Jack Benny show ever aired, and I'm in the home stretch, so I'm going to finish that off first. But once I'm done with that, once I have introductions for every Jack Benny show ever done, how many times a week should I put on the Jack Benny show at that point? Should it be once a week? Oh, but, my podcast is called the Jack Benny Show OTR Podcast. So it would seem to me maybe it needs to be more than that, but I'll give you a choice of once a week. Should it be twice a week? Should it be 3 times a week? Should it be 1 time a week and one of his guest appearances every week? Because I'd like to introduce all of his guest appearances once I do all of his shows, because he guest appeared on, what, I don't know, 60, 70 shows or something at least that still exist that we can bring you. So anyway, vote in this poll. I'll put it up tonight, and so you guys can vote how many times a week you think Jack Benny should be on once I'm done introducing all the episodes here in a couple of years. Now let's get back to tonight's episode real quick. Interesting episode. This is one of the, I believe one of the first times that Jack tries to do a train station episode, but modernize it by putting in an airport. And when they do the airport episodes, I never think they're quite as good or quite as entertaining as the train station episodes. And I don't know exactly why. Having said that, tonight's episode is probably one of the best airplane episodes I've ever heard. So, because it doesn't really focus on that, it really focuses on the bits, and so it works. And I'll say that the whole first half of the episode is pretty solid, but then about halfway through, when Don comes on, and they start doing the Don jokes that he has, they're some of the best Don jokes I've ever heard. Even Don cracks himself up entirely. It's really fun to hear, because Don usually doesn't lose it very often, and so when he loses it a little bit here, it's funny, and like I say, the joke is priceless. And then it gets into Jack gets a chance to sing with the sportsman, and in a kind of a baritone voice. It's hard to even recognize it's Jack, but it's Jack, so that's kind of cool. And we get a chance to hear Mr. Kitzel doing That's What I Like About the South, his own version of it, which is a lot of fun. It's just, and the episode just, and we get a chance to hear Mel Blanks sing a little bit. So it's just a fun last part of the episode. The racetrack tout, it's one of the best, some of the best jokes the racetrack tout ever uses that I think, you know, are really pretty funny. Anyway, just a great episode. Sheldon Leonard does a nice job with the racetrack tout on this episode as well, like I said. So enjoy this fun episode at the airport, and we will see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low,
feeling tense,
these 8 words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Smoke a lucky
to be your level best.
Your level best. That's just how you'll feel when you light up a lucky. Because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
It's important to know that fine tobacco can do this for you.
And LSMFT, LSMFT,
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Smooth, mild, thoroughly enjoyable tobacco.
So next time you buy cigarettes, ask for the cigarette of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. And get on the right level, the lucky level, where things seem right and are right because you feel right.
Yes, smoke a lucky to feel your level best.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight Jack Benny is flying to New York City. So let's go out to Jack's home in Beverly Hills, where we find him packing for the trip. Mary and Rochester are helping him.
Now, let's see. 1, 2, 3.
What else do you want me to do, Jack?
Nothing now, Mary. 1, 2, 3.
Boy, shall I pack
you? Just a minute, Rochester. 4, 5, 6, 7. 7. That ought to be enough.
Why don't you take the whole box? How much does Kleenex cost?
Mary, it isn't the cost of the Kleenex. I'm going by plane, and they charge you extra, you know, if your luggage weighs over 40 pounds. See, it's 79 cents a pound in New York. Unless you get off at Chicago, then it's 57 cents. Or Kansas City, it's 46 cents.
Why don't you go to New York and send your clothes to Albuquerque?
Same. Oh, stop, will you?
But, Jack, you're going to be gone a whole week. Aren't you taking any suits?
Certainly. I'm taking my blue serge, my tweed, my herringbone, and,
Your pinstripe and your gabardine.
Yes, yeah.
That's 5 suits. I don't see any of them in the bag.
He's wearing them. They don't weigh the passengers.
I know what I'm doing.
Jack, what are you going to New York for anyway?
Oh, I thought I told you, Mary. I'm going to appear at a benefit for the American Heart Association Wednesday night at the Copacabana. Ed Sullivan asked me to be the master of ceremonies. Gee, it'll seem strange. Now, I haven't worked in a nightclub since that summer I was at Ciro's. That was a sensation there.
Oh, you certainly were, Jack. How'd you learn to carry 14 cups of coffee on one arm?
Mary, I was just showing that trick to a couple of friends of mine. I wasn't working there as a waiter.
Then why'd you pick up the tips?
Pick up the tips. 80 cents, you make a big thing out of it. Now, let's see, what else do I need? I better take a couple of sweaters and my...
Say, boss.
What?
Do you want to take your sleeping bag along?
No, I'll go to a hotel this time.
Oh, then you won't need your bow and arrow.
No.
I don't blame you, Jack. There's nothing worse for breakfast than a tough squirrel cooked over the exhaust pipe of a cross-town bus.
Yeah. By the way, Rochester, did you order my tuxedo like I told you to?
Yes, sir, here it is.
Alter your tuxedo?
Yeah, I told Rochester to take the satin cuffs off the sleeves. You know, satin cuffs are a little dated now.
That belt in the back isn't exactly cafe society.
It'll do. Here, Mary, you better pack the tuxedo. Fold it carefully so I won't have to have it pressed.
Okay. Say, Jack, this is a funny place to have a pocket in the back lining of the coat.
Oh, that. Well, Mary, I used to do a magic act when I was in vaudeville, and that's where I kept my rabbit.
That was a pigeon, boss.
No, it was a rabbit.
It was a pigeon.
Rochester, this was 15 years ago, and you wouldn't remember. It was a rabbit.
Boss, it was a pigeon. As a matter of fact, when I went through your clothes this morning, I found an egg in that pocket.
Well, that was a mothball.
I wish you'd have told me sooner you had it for breakfast.
Oh, well, it smelled like a mothball. But you're right, Rochester. You're right. You know, it was a pigeon I used in my vaudeville act. Her name was Natalie. Yeah, I'll never forget. She used to sit up on my head and coo while I played my violin. That pigeon was so cute sitting on my head.
I remember the night they knocked it off with a tomato.
Yeah. I wonder what they had against Natalie.
Whatever became of that pigeon, boss?
Rochester, I'd rather not talk about it.
Well, Jack, I want to know, too. What became of that pigeon?
Well, things got tough for me in vaudeville, and I got hungry, and... Oh, let's not talk about it. Now, Mary... Don't worry, Polly. I'm doing all right now. Come on, Mary. Let's get this packing finished so that I can... I'll get it.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Come on in.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mary. Say, what's all the packing going on?
Well, Jack's going to New York.
Oh, well, Mr. Benny, as long as you're going to New York, why don't you stay at the Acme Plaza Hotel? My uncle's the house detective there.
Your uncle, the house detective? What's his name?
Peekaboo McNulty.
Peekaboo McNulty?
He must be some detective.
Yeah. Oh, he's wonderful. During the war, he was a spy, but the enemy caught him, put him up against the wall, and executed him.
Wait a minute, kid. You just said he's working at the Acme Plaza Hotel.
After the war, they had to give him his job back.
Look, Dennis, I got a lot of packing to do, so don't bother me now, will you?
Okay. Do you mind if I go into the other room and practice my song a bit?
No, go right ahead. Go in the living room. There's a player piano in there. Now, come on, Mary, and help me finish.
Oh.
see. Have I got everything? I'll be going out nights in New York, so I'll need a... Come in!
Hiya, Livy. Hello, Jackson.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Jackson. Here's that suitcase you wanted.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I'm glad you brought it. Mine is so shabby. It's nice you lent it to me. Boy, get a load of those labels on it.
Yeah, I used to take it with me when I was on the road playing them one-night stands.
Oh.
Hey, Jack, look at this label here. Ritz-Carlton Hotel, Empty Jug, Texas.
Empty Jug, Texas?
I killed him that time.
I never heard of the place. Where is Empty Jug, Phil?
It's about 50 miles this side of Rack'em-Up, Kansas.
Oh, fine. Empty Jug, Rack'em-Up. Phil, why don't you get booked into cities like Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, or Dallas?
Leave me alone, Jackson. I know my market.
Well, I'm glad you do. At least you're not kidding yourself.
Hey, Dad, how long are you going to be in New York?
Well, I'm going to do the Hart benefit on Wednesday night, and then if I have time, I'll see what's going on in television.
Oh, television, huh? Well, look, while you're talking, you can tell them I'll consider going on television when they get larger screens.
Larger screens? They've already had them up to 16 inches.
16 inches ain't nothing. If you don't get Harris life size, you're getting robbed.
Well, maybe you're right, Phil. You were a riot in Empty Jug.
Yeah.
Now, come on, Mary. Let's pack my things in the suitcase Phil brought over.
Okay. First, I'll take the... Oh, for heaven's sake, Phil.
What happened, Liv?
You've got a lot of nerve pasting all these labels on Alice's bag.
That ain't Alice's bag. The boys in the band gave it to me for a present. That's mine.
Yours? But look at those initials. A.F.
That stands for Angel Face.
Phil, the boys in your band call you Angel Face?
Well, what else could you call a guy who looks like me?
Did you hear that, Mary?
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I thought I was the only one.
No, I heard it. Made me sick, but I heard it.
Me too.
Well, have a nice trip, Jackson. I gotta go home now and cut some little round holes in the side of my Chevrolet.
Cut holes in the side of your Chevrolet for what?
I want my kids to think I got a Buick. Have a good time, Jackson. So long.
Goodbye, Angel Face. What a character, Angel Face. He always makes up those silly names of towns to Empty Jug.
Mr. Bentley, your bag is all packed.
Good. I haven't got too much time, so we better leave for the airport. You want to ride down with me, Mary?
Oh, sure, Jack.
Rochester, get the car, will you?
Okay.
Who can that be? I'll get it. Hello?
Jack Benny, please.
This is Jack Benny.
I have a long-distance call for you from Las Vegas.
Long-distance, eh?
Why don't you take a chance?
Oh, all right. Put them on.
Here's your party.
Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Don.
Oh, Don, what are you doing in Las Vegas?
Up here getting a suntan.
But, Don, you just had 3 days of sun in Palm Springs.
Well, that took care of my right side. Now I'm getting some on my left side.
Well, that I can't understand at all. When you were over in Palm Springs, why didn't you just roll over?
I did. Now I'm in Las Vegas.
That's what he likes, that. That's logical, Don. That's logical. Don, what did you call me for?
Well, Jack, the quartet's up here with me, and when they heard you were going to New York, they made me get you on the phone so they could say goodbye to you.
Oh, the sportsmen, eh? Well, put them on, Don.
Here they are.
Give our regards to Broadway. Remember us to CBS. Tell all the gang to light a lucky strike and feel their level best.
Feel the very level.
And when you go to Lindy's, your friends and pals you'll surely see.
I will see.
So tell everyone on Old Broadway to smoke an LSMFT.
Gentlemen, your 3 minutes are up.
Ride the subway, so round and firm and fully packed.
Round and firm and fully.
Then take a drive through Central Park and smoke a lucky in the hack.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Then to Columbus Circle and on the soapbox you should be.
Gentlemen,
shouting the praises of that cigarette. It's LSMFT.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Give our regards to
Boeing, your time is up.
Remember us to MFT.
Bellows will have to hang up.
Tell all the folks Boeing.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's always
like wait a minute.
How do you like that? She cut them off.
Jack, it's getting late. You better hurry.
Oh, yes, yes. Dennis, you want to drive down to the airport with us?
I'd like to, but I got my bicycle with me. I'll meet you there.
Okay. Come on, Rochester, get the car. Now, Rochester, turn left on Sepulveda, and it'll take you right to the airport.
Yes, sir.
Rochester, what are you doing?
I'm trying to pass that Cadillac. I must be crazy.
Don't be funny. Just drive.
Say, Jack, while you're in New York, do you think you'll run into Fred Allen?
You mean buttons and bags? No, I don't think I'll see Fred. It won't be necessary this time. I sent him my old clothes by parcel post. He wanted them in time for the Easter parade. Anyway, I might run into him when I...
Hey, look, Jack. There's Dennis on his bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Mr. Benny.
Pass him, Rochester. Aren't your legs tired from all that peddling, kid?
No, this is fun.
That's good. Pass him, Rochester. You want to hitch on the back, Dennis? Come on, we'll give you a lift.
No, thanks. This is good exercise.
Yeah, it's good exercise, all right. Pass him, Rochester. Pass him.
Embarrassing, ain't it?
Well, step on it or something.
So long, Mr. Benny. I'll wait for you at the airport.
You come back here! All right, go on. That reckless kid. I'll try to go a little faster, Rochester. I don't want to miss my plane. You know, there's a very important benefit. Here's the airport, Rochester. Pull over at the curb. Come on, Mary. I better get a red cap to take my bag. Wonder where they're... Oh, there's one. Oh, red cap, will you... He looked at me and walked away. There's another one. Oh, red cap, will you take my... He walked away, too.
Here comes another one, Jack.
Oh, yes.
I'll take your bag for you, Mr. Benny.
Oh, thank you. You know, I can't understand it. When I call those other red caps, they walked away, but you came right over.
Well, I figured if you can do a benefit, so can I.
Well, you don't have to do this for nothing. Take my bag, and here's a tip for you.
Gee, thanks. Now I can get my head shined.
Yeah. Come on, Mary, let's go inside.
Flight number 76 for Phoenix, Dallas, and Washington, D.C., now loading at gate 2.
Mary, let's go over to the information desk. I want to find out if my plane's going to leave on time.
Flight 43, now arriving on runway 6 from Galveston, Houston, Fort Worth, and Empty Jug.
Gee, I thought Phil was kidding. Say, Mary, before I go over to the information desk, I want to get some magazines.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'll get your ticket validated.
Oh, thanks.
Hiya, bud. Long time no see.
Huh? Oh, hello.
Who was that, Jack?
Oh, that's that racetrack cow from Santa Anita.
Always bothers me. I'll meet you back here, Mary.
Okay.
I give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, hello. Hello, Mr. Benny. Mr. Kissel, are you going away on a trip?
Yes, I'm flying to visit my sister in New York. She had a baby boy, and I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, well, that's nice. How does it feel being an uncle?
I'm getting used to it. He's 26 now.
Your nephew is 26 years old, and you haven't seen him yet?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Here, look, I got a picture of him.
Say, he's a nice-looking fellow. But if he's 26, why doesn't he cut off those long curls?
His boss won't let him.
His boss?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Who does he work for?
Phil Spitalny.
Oh, your nephew is a musician.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. You heard, Mr. Benny, you heard of Evelyn and her magic violin?
Yes.
This is Sam and his stinking saxophone.
Oh, well, then he isn't much of a musician, huh?
No, but he sings pretty good. You should hear him when he imitates Phil Harris. Oh, won't you come with me to Alabama? There we'll meet my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling corned beef. That's what I like about this show.
Wait a minute, Mr. Kitzel.
Yes?
It isn't corned beef, it's broiling hammy.
If he doesn't eat it, why should he sing about it?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Anyway, Mr. Kitzel, I'll see you on the plane.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
Okay. Now, let's see. I'll take these two magazines, and maybe I'll get a book.
Attention, please. Attention. Flight number 19 now loading at gate 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and faraway places with strange-sounding names. And Cucamonga.
Gee, I might get hungry on the plane. Maybe I ought to buy some fruit or something. Say, these apples look good. Yeah, I'll get some of these apples. Oh, miss. Oh, darn it, she's busy. Well, I'll just have to wait.
Hey, Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Look, fella, I...
What are you doing?
I'm buying some fruit.
What kind?
I'm buying apples.
Uh-uh.
What?
Take the oranges.
But I don't want oranges. How about grapes?
Haven't got a chance. They're carrying too many seeds.
Oh, well, what about the bananas?
I've been watching them for 3 days. I have yet to see one of them get out of the bunch.
Well, look, I don't know.
Listen to me, Bud. Take the oranges.
The oranges?
They can't miss. Look at the breeding. Out of Pomona by Smudge Pie.
Well, I wanted apples, but... But maybe... I wanted apples, but maybe you're right. I'll take the oranges.
Okay, and peel them. Don't be a sucker.
Oh, miss, I'll take 3 of those oranges, please, and peel them.
Attention, please. Attention. The Santa Fe Super Chief now landing on runway 7.
How could that happen?
It was awfully windy in Barstow.
Let's see. Where was I going? Oh, yes, to the information desk. Pardon me. Are you the information clerk?
No. No, they put me behind these bars for toasting marshmallows out of sea.
Look, mister, I'm in a hurry. Now, when do I leave for New York?
I don't know, but it can't be too soon for me.
Now, wait a minute. You're here to give me information.
Well, if you tell me what flight you're on, I'll tell you when you leave.
Oh. I'm taking flight 58.
A flight 58 leaves at 7:45, makes one stop at Kansas City, flies at an altitude of 17,000 feet at a speed of 300 miles per hour.
Oh.
They serve dinner and breakfast. The pilot's names are Frank and Harry. They arrive in New York at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bon voyage, and I hope you get sick.
Wise guy, I'd punch you right in the nose if I didn't have to take off five coats. I'll be more civil, or I'll report you to the management. What gate does my plane leave from?
In number 9.
That's better. How long will the flight take?
10 hours.
Well, that's good. Are the seats comfortable?
Ooh, are they?
Oh, what's the use? Now, let's see. Where did Mary go? Oh, there she is.
Attention, please. Flight 21 now leaving for San Joaquin Valley, Sun Valley, Imperial Valley, and Apple Valley.
Hey, Bud. Huh? Come here a minute.
Oh, attention, please. Flight 21 now leaving for San Joaquin Valley, Sun Valley, Imperial Valley, and Orange, New Jersey.
Oh, Mary!
Here I am, Jack, and here are your tickets.
Oh, thanks.
Flight number 58 for New York, leaving immediately.
Oh, my goodness, that's my plane. I gotta run. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye. I'll call you from New York.
Goodbye, Jack. I'll wait here and watch the plane take off.
Okay, and I'll wave to you from the window. Oh, boy.
Watch your step getting into the plane, please.
Stand back, lady.
I just want to watch the takeoff. Gee, there it goes into the air. What a beautiful takeoff.
Yep, they'll be in New York in 10 hours.
Look, the planes are turning around and coming back. Coming in for a landing.
Well, I'll be darned.
Jack! Jack, what happened?
I forgot my oranges. Okay, pilot, I got them. Let's go!
Ladies and gentlemen, one of our greatest enemies is fire. Each year, fire destroys millions of dollars worth of property and takes thousands of lives. Most of these fires could have been prevented. Be cautious. Protect your life, your property, and your home. Thank you. Jack will be back in just a moment, but first...
Smoke-a-lucky, to be your level best. Smoke-a-lucky.
You see, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
That's why it's so important for you to select and smoke the cigarette of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. For as you know,
LSMFT, LSMFT,
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
No wonder Lucky's are the overwhelming choice of tobacco experts, men who can see the makers of Lucky Strike. Consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. Put you on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best.
So next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike. Yes, when you are
feeling low,
feeling tense, these 8 words are common sense.
Smoke-a-lucky,
to be your level best.
Smoke-a-lucky,
to be your level best.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, in just a few hours, we'll be in New York.
Yes, it was a wonderful trip.
That's right.
By the way, Mr. Benny, is somebody meeting you by the airport in New York?
Yes, Ed Sullivan and his benefit committee. Who's meeting you, Mr. Kitzel?
Sam and a stinking saxophone.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. And don't forget the CBS Sunday Night lineup. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday. Time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. This morning, while Phil was sleeping, Mr. Scott of the Rexall Company called and told Alice that he was going to drop in and see Phil about a matter of importance. Phil has just come down, and Alice is relaying Mr. Scott's message to him.
He didn't say what he wanted, Phil. He just said he'll tell you when he gets here.
I wonder what Mr. Scott has on his mind. Could he be mad at me for something? No. What could I have done that he'd be mad about?
Maybe he heard your show last week.
Well, if it ain't the first daffodil of spring. Little petunia head.
Bill, do you think Willie could be right? Is it possible that the Rexall people are unhappy with the way you're doing the show?
Unhappy with me? Oh, Ruby, relax. Everybody says I'm the hottest thing to hit the airwaves since Jessica Dragonette. Let me tell you something, Willie. Maybe you don't like me on the air, but plenty of people think I'm great. And if you don't believe me, ask anybody. Anybody at all.
Like who?
Like my two kids. Hey, girls, come in here a minute. If you want the truth, ask a child. They'll give it to you straight.
What do you want, Daddy?
Phyllis, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to give me an unbiased answer. Now, who do you think is the greatest performer on the radio?
Mommy.
Let's try it again, and this time put it on the bias. Now, who do you think is the greatest...
Dale, stop waving that $5 bill under her nose. Phyllis takes after me. She has a strong mind, and money won't make her change it.
Try me, Daddy. I take after Uncle Willie. I'll say anything for $5.
Make it $5, because $10 you ain't gonna get. Not only that, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to bribe you. I'm not trying to bribe you. You can keep the $5 no matter what you say. All I want to know is, who is the greatest performer on the rate? Oh, I better rephrase that. Why take chances? Now, who is the funniest man on the Rexall radio show?
Uncle Frankie.
Give me back that $5, you pitiful son. My own children. I'd have done better asking Ozzy and Harriet's kids.
Phil, I don't think this has anything to do with your ability. Perhaps Mr. Scott is a little annoyed with your brashness. You haven't been as respectful as you should be to your boss.
Well, maybe I have been too irrepressible. Maybe I... Uh-oh, that must be Mr. Scott. Well, if it's respect he wants, I'll pour it on. Oh, good morning, sir. I am your humble servant. Your wish is my command.
Don't make me a mint julep, Jeeves.
Oh, it's you, Frankie. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were Mr. Scott, the sponsor.
If you're going to be nasty, I'll go out again. What's the sponsor coming over here for?
I don't know. It's got me worried, too. You know, that Scott could be coming over here to fire me.
If you don't know, why look at the black side of things? Maybe his coming over here has nothing to do with your job. Maybe it's a simple thing that has nothing to do with the show.
Like what?
Maybe he's in love with Alice and wants you to give her a divorce.
Yeah. Frankie, I'm in no mood for this time of morning. Let's be serious. Don't you realize that my job...
Well, that's Mr. Scott. Why don't you bring him? Oh, hello, Frankie.
Hello, Alice. Curly seems to be worried about his job, and I was cheering him up.
Oh, Phil, you're being very silly. You're building things up in your own mind without knowing what it's about. Has it ever occurred to you that Mr. Scott might be happy with you on the show?
Oh, Alice, you and your wild ideas.
Well, it's not wild at all. Phil's doing a good job on the show. He's selling lots of Rexall products, and he's helped their business. I think maybe Mr. Scott is coming over to give him a slight increase in salary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I've helped his business, and in appreciation, he's given me a slight increase in... A slight increase? Why, that ingrate. I tripled his business. Tripled his business, and all he wants to give me is a slight increase. Why, I never... Well, I'm not going to let him get away with that. Wait till I see him, a slight increase. That's him now. I can't wait to tell him off.
Good morning, Mr. Harris.
You cheapskate! After all I've done for you, you have the nerve to offer me a measly $2 raise.
Perhaps I'd better come back when he's sober. See you later, Harris.
Oh, don't go, Mr. Scott. Please come in.
Oh, very well, Mrs. Harris.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Scott. I was a little bit excited. But I can't wait to find out why you came to see me. Now, tell me, Mr. Scott, are you here to give me a raise?
Oh, come now, Clyde.
Well, Mr. Scott, you're not here to fire me, are you?
No. No, but when I get back to the office, I'll drop it in the suggestion box. No, Harris, no, I am not here to fire you.
Well, then why did you come over? Wait a minute. If you think I'll give Alice a divorce, you're crazy.
Talking about?
Harris, before this gets completely out of hand, I'd better tell you exactly why I'm here.
Well, I certainly wish you would.
Well, I want to ask you
Curly,
if you would be...
what kind of a host are you? You leave me standing inside. Oh, it's the prime rib himself.
Well, if it isn't Remley, the no-talent kid.
That's a pretty nasty remark. So you've come over to fire my pal Curly, huh? Scotty, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I don't like you.
I don't like you.
I just said that. Don't be a copycat.
Frankie, will you please stop? The man didn't come
Curly,
here.
Curly, listen, I didn't mind when he fired me, but when he fires my best friend, he's got me to answer to.
Remley, he ain't firing me. Scotty, pay no attention to Frankie. You see, the poor kid doesn't know what he's saying. You see, his mind.
You mean he's...
like a bag of cashews. He's a psychiatric case caused by the fact that he hates his father.
He hates his father? I should think it would be the other way around.
I can't stand the suspense any longer. Mr. Scott, what did you come over to see Phil about?
Well, it's like this.
Mr. Scott, sir. I'm glad to see you, sir. You're looking exceedingly well, sir.
Willie, stop crawling toward him.
William, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be at your desk at the Rexall office?
Well, I just dropped in to see my sister, sir.
On our time? Naughty, naughty.
Well, I was just leaving, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Scott. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Willie.
Good man, that William. He thinks of nothing but the company's interest. It's heartwarming.
I think it's sickening. way he fawns over you and Rexall.
Remley, you work for Rexall too, you know. It wouldn't hurt for you to have a little pride in our fine company of 10,000 independent druggists, those men who sell our 2,000 drug products and strive
all
to
right,
maintain...
All right, don't drag it out. I got pride in the company.
Have you ever bought one of our drug products?
No.
Well, the least you can do is buy one of our drugs.
What for? I'm not sick. What do you want me to do? Go out of my way to get a malady just so I can use your drugs?
Remley, I'm not asking you to go out of your way to get a malady. But if you have a chance at one, don't turn it down.
Mr. Scott. Never mind, Frankie. Look, Mr. Scott, why did you come to see me?
Well, it's about my daughter. Her school is giving a dance, and she's on the entertainment committee, and she insists that your band play for the dance.
Is that all? Oh, gee. Oh, gee, that'll be an honor. Of all the bands to choose from, she picks mine. Tell me, why does she like my band so much?
She's tone deaf. By the way, Mrs. Harris, would you consent to come along and sing a few numbers for the kid?
Oh, it'll be a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. The entertainment committee is meeting at the school gym in about an hour. I wonder if you two would mind coming over to discuss the program with them.
Oh, sure, we'll be over.
I'll be there too, Scotty.
Oh. Goody. Don't put yourself out, Remley.
Ah, it's no trouble at all. I'll bring my guitar.
Well, we could use your guitar.
You want me to play, huh?
No. No, but after the dance, they're having a weenie roast, and they'll need some wood to start the fire. I'll see you folks at the gym. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I think I've been insulted.
Phil, what do you think I ought to sing at the dance? What do you think the kids will like?
They'll like anything you do, honey. Hey, how about the tune you were rehearsing today? You know, the one that goes... Da, ba, ba, da,
da, da, da, da, da. You better let me do it, Pappy.
Yeah, you can't stand it.
Johnny, get your girl. Tap her on the shoulder. Tap her on the shoulder. Say you'd like to hold her. Johnny, get your girl. Walk her in the moonlight. If you've got no moonlight, talk about a June night. Don't wait for introductions. Don't be so formal. Just step right up and do the thing that's normal. Johnny, get your girl. Tap her on the shoulder. Get a little bolder. Give romance a whirl. Don't let another Johnny get your girl.
Johnny, get your girl.
Tap her on the shoulder.
Tap her on the shoulder? Gee, now I feel a little bolder.
Say you'd like to hold her.
Johnny, get your girl.
You gotta walk her in the moonlight.
Well, if the moon is out of view, what's a fella gonna do?
Well, then you just talk about a June night. Don't wait for introductions. Don't be so formal. Just step right up and do the thing that's normal. Johnny, 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 get your girl. Tap her on the shoulder. Get a little bolder. Give romance a whirl. Don't let another Johnny get your girl.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Harris. It's nice of you and Mrs. Harris to come over to the gym. Remley couldn't make it, eh?
Oh, no, he'll be here soon. He went home to get his guitar.
Oh.
Which one of these two lovely girls is your daughter, Mr. Scott?
Oh, they're both mine. This is little Laurie. She's just 8 years old. She sort of tags along after her sister.
Oh, hello, Laurie. How are you, honey?
Oh, I feel fine, thank you. And I always feel fine because I use Rexall drugs to keep me healthy.
Not.
Daddy, introduce me.
I'm sorry. Marjorie, I want you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
Hello, Marjorie. How do you do, Mrs. Harris?
Hi, Margie.
Hello, Curly.
I hope you don't mind my calling you Curly, but all the kids do, and so
oh,
I...
No. Gee, that's all right. Hey, Margie, your dad tells me that you insisted on having my band play at your dance. Why did you pick me?
Who else is there?
Oh, Marge.
Oh, I bet you look keen up there in the bandstand. I can just picture you in a tuxedo. You must look terrific.
Oh, no, I don't.
I bet you do.
No, really, I don't.
But you must.
Marjorie, have you ever seen Curly in a tuxedo?
No, I haven't.
Well, I haven't. The boy knows what he's talking about.
Alice, I don't think it's very nice of you to contradict Miss Scott.
Mr. Harris, please pay no attention to Marjorie. She's only 16, and anything looks good to her. Now, why don't you and Mrs. Harris come along and meet some of the other girls?
Oh, Daddy, why don't you and Mrs. Harris go alone? I want to discuss the, dance with Mr. Harris. You go with Daddy, Laurie. Well, okay. But, Margie...
What?
I don't think Curly's as good-looking as you said he was. We'll see you later.
Poor little kid. Only 8 years old, and already she's so nearsighted.
Well, Margie, what kind of music would you like at the dance? Now, we can give you Dixieland, 4-beat, or how about a little bebop with a Lombardo float?
It's not the dance I want to discuss, Curly. May I be brutally frank?
Oh, yeah. Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I hope you won't misunderstand me, but, well, we moderns believe that curbing one's emotions can result in a serious frustration that tends to impair one's psychological development. Don't you agree?
Yes, allegorically speaking. But perusing it superficially, I find rhetorical. I love algebra, don't you?
Curly, I'll get right to the point. You might not believe me when I say this, but I think you're charming and handsome and the most wonderful man in the world.
Yeah, but what were you going to tell me that I might not believe?
I know I have no right to say this, but I can't help myself. I'm in love with you.
You're in what? With who?
I'm in love with you. You don't hate me for feeling that way, do you?
No. It's a perfectly normal feminine reaction. But Margie... Let's face it, this is madness.
Oh, you're laughing at me.
No, honey, I'm not. Honest, I'm not. But you're a little too late, kid. I've already been spoken for. Oh, look, Margie, you just got a schoolgirl crush. You'll get over it. I ain't saying you'll ever be the same again. Don't worry, honey. You'll survive.
Don't you like me? Just a little bit?
Sure I like you. I think you're a swell kid, but, well, I'm a happily married man.
Are you happy? Are you really happy being married to an older woman?
She's not that much older than I am. Now, look, if you'll excuse me, Margie, I think I hear Alice calling me. I'll see you around, Margie.
Au revoir, Cherie. Oh, he's so irresistible.
Marjorie, don't you think it's about time you got started? Why, Marjorie, you look sick. What's the matter?
Daddy, I'm in love.
Oh, that again. Well, who's the lucky boy this time?
Phil Harris.
Oh, no.
No!
Daddy, get up off the floor. You're causing a scene.
I won't stand for it. Harris! Marjorie, you run along. I'll take care of this.
What's up, Scotty? What's all the excitement about?
As if you didn't know, you old roué. My daughter just told me she's in love with you.
Well, it ain't my fault. Besides, what you got to get excited about? She's just a schoolgirl with a crush. She'll forget about me tomorrow.
I refuse to be tortured that long. Harris, if you don't make her fall out of you, love with you by the time you leave here today, I'll have you barred from radio for life. I'll give you half an hour to do it.
But Mr. Scott. Certainly got the mumbles, ain't he? Oh, why couldn't I have been born homely?
Phil, what was all that racket over here? What's Mr. Scott so mad about?
Oh, Alice, you'll never know. I'm in trouble. And I know you'll be sympathetic. Honey, Mr. Scott's daughter is in love with me.
Oh, that poor girl.
Never mind the poor girl. Just think of me. Scott's threatened to bar me from radio unless I can make her forget me before we leave here. Now, look, Alice, you've got to talk to her. Try to convince her that I'm not as wonderful as I am. But, honey, do it in a nice way.
She's headed this way. You duck behind this post and let me handle her. Go
right
ahead.
Behind you?
Yeah, go ahead. Go on now. I'll fix everything, but good.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, didn't I just see Mr. Harris here? Where'd he go?
Oh, he'll be right back, Marjorie. He just stepped out to adjust his girdle.
His girdle?
Mm-hmm. Middle-aged spread.
All men get a little paunchy when they reach the halfway mark.
Halfway mark? My mother used to take me to see her pictures.
Harris, what do you mean halfway mark? Mr. Harris can't be a day over 30. He doesn't have a wrinkle on his face.
Plastic surgery does wonders.
You mean he's had his face lifted?
Only 4 times.
All I did was go in and get an estimate once.
Mrs. Harris, did he really have his face lifted that much?
Oh, yes. In fact, he overdid it. Last time, he had to go back and have it lowered. You know, his nose was lifted so high, every time he sneezed, he blew his hat off.
Oh, now she's reaching.
I don't believe you, Mrs. Harris. If he were as old as you say, he couldn't sing the way he does. His voice has such a wonderful quiver.
Upper plate wobble.
Oh,
upper plate, I got one lousy little bridge.
Mrs. Harris, I'm sorry, but I don't believe a word you say. You're very fortunate to be married to such a wonderful man. And if he were mine, I couldn't talk about him the way you do. Goodbye.
That's telling her, Margie.
Well, Phil, you can come out now. I'm sorry it didn't work, but I tried.
Oh, yeah, you tried, you tried. To hear you talk, you'd think you were married to an old Essex. It didn't do any good either. Oh, Alice, how am I going to discourage her? I can't... Hey, wait a minute, Remley. He's the guy that can get me out of this.
Hiya,
Remley.
Curly. Sorry I'm late, but I had
to... Oh, Frankie, you're just the guy I'm looking for.
Uh-oh, there's dirty work afoot.
Now, wait a minute, Remley. You got to do me a big favor. Mr. Scott's daughter has fallen madly in love with me, and Remley, you got to take her off my hands.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Curly. I ain't
going to... Now, Remley, if you don't do this for me, I'm going to lose my job. Look, she's over there with those other girls. Just go over and ask for Miss Scott. Make up to her, Remley.
All right, I'll do it for you, but I don't like it one bit. What do you want me to tell her?
Tell her anything. Tell her you're in love with her, can't live without her, and you want to marry her. You know, routine number three. Lay it on her.
Oh, all right, okay. Things I'd do for that guy. Oh, well, she probably won't be interested. If she goes for Curly, she won't like the Tyrone Power type like me. I'll just tell her that you...
Hello, mister.
Somebody talking to me? Oh, you're down there. Hey, kid, maybe you can help me. Where can I find Mr. Scott's daughter?
I'm his daughter. I'm Laurie Scott.
You're...
Ooh, I gotta have a talk with Curly.
Look, kid, are you sure you're Mr. Scott's daughter?
Yes.
I don't get it, but Curly asked me to do it, so here goes. Laurie, I'm madly in love with you, and I want to marry you. What do you say?
Okay.
Resist me a little, will you? Don't you know you're supposed to play hard to get?
Why? I always wanted to get married, and you're the first one to ask me. Oh, let's have a church wedding.
Look, Laurie, let's not rush into this. I may not be the one for you. Shop around a little.
Funny looking, but you're cute.
Thanks a lot.
What's your name?
Frankie Remley. Why?
Oh, so I can tell Daddy when I ask him if it's all right to marry
him. No, wait a minute, kid. Come back here. Don't tell your father. Hey, kid. Oh, kid.
Marjorie, you've made me the happiest man in the world. You're sure you're no longer in love with Mr. Harris?
Definitely not, Daddy. Mrs. Harris made me realize that he's pretty old. Why, by the time I'm 30, he'll be almost 90.
Well, I'm glad you saw the light. Now I can face the world again. What a relief.
Daddy, can I talk to you?
Yes, Laurie, what is it, dear?
Daddy, I'm in love.
Well, you're a little too young to... Wait a minute. Laurie, please. Please tell me it's not Phil Harris.
Oh, no, it's not him, Daddy.
Oh, thank goodness. Who are you in love with, dear? What's the little boy's name?
Frankie Remley.
Oh, no!
Daddy, come back here. Don't throw yourself through the window.
Right now, our Rexall family druggist is waiting on a customer.
Okay, there you are. Anything else now?
Better put in a tube of that salve my husband uses. He squeezed the one he has now with everything short of a steamroller.
Well, he can't possibly be as rough on it as Rexall scientists are.
Why, how's that?
Well, a tube that contains a drug product has to be made of extra strong yet flexible material. It's got to be able to take bending and rolling and squeezing without cracking open. But even the right material from that standpoint will sometimes cause a chemical change in the product. When that happens, Rexall men of science must find a suitable liner.
A what?
A liner, a thin coating inside the tube that keeps the product from touching it. Then to make sure that all three will stand up under all usual conditions...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking.
Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1938-1939 season. Tonight's episode, unfortunately, doesn't have quite as good of sound quality as we're used to on these episodes, but it's still listenable for sure. This is our second episode of the week that celebrates April Fool's Day, and this is another one of the things that I didn't expect to hear when I originally started thinking, okay, well, if I play the episodes in order with the seasons, we'll have, you know, Christmas episodes and Easter episodes and things like that. But the benefits we gain by when it's wintertime, them having winter episodes, when spring hits, having spring episodes, the whole, like this one, April Fool's Day episodes that we actually get to hear right around the time of April Fool's Day, it's a pretty cool thing that happens, and I thank all of you who email me and tell me that you like the fact that we go along with the season. I try to do it with most of the shows. Every once in a while there's one that I can't do it with. Of course, one of the examples of that would probably be the Judy Canova show, in which there's so many missing episodes that we're just jumping way ahead and it's just doing its own thing. But most of our shows, that's not the case. And it seems as they keep on finding more episodes to these old shows that you can do more and more of them, like I'm doing this. Certainly the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show, originally you wouldn't have been able to sustain tying all the episodes into the time of year, but because there's been, over 100 new episodes that have been discovered recently, that we can actually do that pretty nicely for you. That's great that Jack Benny shows there's so many episodes. Someday, hopefully, the Fred Allens will be able to get more of them. Anyway, enjoy tonight's episode of the Jack Benny Show, and I'm glad that you're all tuning in and enjoying the shows.
J-E-L-L-O!
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Mr. and Mrs. America. You know, one of our grandest American institutions is the good old time parade. And starting next Thursday, April 6th, the Parade of Progress will go marching along all over this country. It's sponsored by the Associated Grocery Manufacturers of America, and Jell-O is proud to join. Because Jell-O's whole existence has been a parade of progress for the 40-odd years it's been on the market. And through the years, there have been constant new developments and improvements. Jell-O's delicious flavor has been made extra rich, and new flavors have been introduced. Jell-O is quicker and easier to make nowadays, for it dissolves instantly in hot water and sets far more quickly. And with all the improvements, Jell-O costs less. Today you pay half as much for it as you would have 20 years ago. Yes, without boasting, we can truthfully say that Jell-O has kept right on the bandwagon in the great parade of progress. So Jell-O salutes the grocers of America and is proud to march along with them. And for our float in the big parade, we suggest the box with the big red letters on it that spell Jell-O. That was Mr. and Mrs. America played by the orchestra. Now, folks, do you all know last Wednesday night, Clark Gable and Carol Lombard eloped to Kingman, Arizona, and were married. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the man who held the ladder, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Hello again. This is Cupid's assistant talking. And, Don, I don't know where you got that information about my helping Clark and Carol. But you're right, and I was never so embarrassed in my life. There I was holding the ladder, all dressed up in a tuxedo, like a big goof.
Tuxedo, what was the big idea?
Well, it's very silly, really. You see, Carol called up and asked me to hurry over because she was going to run away and get married.
Yes?
Well, I got so darn excited, I thought she meant to me. Gosh, when I saw Gable there, I almost fainted.
Oh, my, that must have been quite a letdown for you, huh, Jack?
Well, it was, but they were awfully nice about it, though. They let me keep the ladder. I'm going to grow ivy on it, you know?
Well, Jack, now, what in the world made you think that Miss Lombard would elope with you anyway?
Oh, I don't know, Don. She's always so nice when we meet on the street. And then one time, during a dust storm, she winked at me. So, what was I to think?
Oh, it's too bad, Jack, but you shouldn't jump at conclusions like that.
I'll say I shouldn't. On the way over to her house, I tore up all my old phone numbers. Now, if I want a date, I'll have to join the Lonesome Club. But as I said before, Don, they were awfully sweet. You know, they even wanted me to go along with them and... Pardon me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bennett, this is Rochester.
It is, eh?
Are you still mad at me, boss?
Yes, Rochester, I'm not talking to you. Goodbye. Can't get around me that easy.
Now, what's the trouble, Jack?
It's a personal matter, Don. I'd rather not discuss it. What were we talking about?
Oh, you said something about Clark and Carol wanting you to go along with them.
Oh, yes, they needed the best man at their wedding, but I couldn't make it. You see, I'm pretty busy right now. I started making my new picture at Paramount.
Paramount? Why, that's where you made your last one.
I know, Don. Don't act so surprised. This is going to be my first legitimate picture. It's called Man About Town.
Oh, it's a very clever title. Who's directing it?
A fellow by the name of Sandridge, Mark Sandridge. And I'm having a lot of trouble with that guy, too.
Jack, you're always having trouble with your directors. What's wrong this time?
There's plenty wrong. You see, Don Sandridge directed most of the Astaire Rogers pictures, and he can't get away from that Fred Astaire treatment. It's too much for me.
Well, now, what do you mean?
Well, he has me jumping over furniture all the time. Gee, I'm so tired at night, I can hardly rinse out my socks. No kidding.
Oh, but I can't imagine that director wanting you to work like Fred Astaire. It must be quite strenuous.
You said it. Why, yesterday we shot a scene where I enter an English drawing room to talk to Edward Arnold. See, he plays the part of Lord Arlington.
Oh, I see.
Well, anyway, instead of just walking up to him and saying hello, Sandridge made me leap over two divans, a love seat, and the Duchess of Twiffledom. My goodness.
Did you clear everything?
All but the Duchess. Every time I tried it, I wound up piggyback. I tell you, Don, I'm a wreck. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Leaping Lena. How are you?
There you are, Don. You see, Mary's been over to the studio. She knows.
No kidding, Mary. Does Jack really have to do all that jumping?
Does he? He's got a kangaroo for a stand-in.
Now, Mary, he's not a real one. That happens to be the man's name, Barney Kangaroo.
Well, he's got an awful big pocket.
Now, you're just being silly. But you know, Don, there's one thing about this picture that says me. I mean, how agile I am. Why leap over that furniture just like Fred Astaire?
Who couldn't with bed springs on their shoes?
Well, I had to have some help. And those springs worked out fine.
You'll get the Academy Award from the Murphy Bed Company.
Oh, I will. Well, let me tell you something, Don. If I don't break a leg, I think this is going to be my best picture.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it, Jack. Who's going to be in it besides yourself?
Well, there's Dorothy L'Amour, Edward Arnold, Benny Barnes, E.E. Clive, 500 extras, and Phil Harris. By the way, where is Phil?
Oh, he'll be here in a little while. No kidding, Jack. Is Phil really going to be in your picture?
Yes, I got him a small part. He also hangs up my clothes and sees that they're pressed, you know. That'll keep him busy.
Those big love scenes with Dorothy L'Amour will keep him busy, too.
Listen, Mary, Phil may hold Dorothy in his arms, but her heart belongs to Benny. Don't worry about me.
Say, Mary, how is Phil in the picture? Is he a good actor?
I think he's going to be great in it.
Great? What a show-off. Somebody told him he had beautiful hips, and he keeps backing into the camera. He looks like a crawfish with a Marcel. Now, let's forget the picture. Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hiya, Jack. Say, your shirt tail's sticking out.
It is. Where?
April Fool! Boy, did you fall for that one.
Danny, in the first place, yesterday was April Fool's Day, and in the second place, you didn't fool me because my shirt tail is out.
Is that your shirt? I thought it was a Chinese newspaper.
Well, it has been to the laundry a lot. Danny, I bet you were some cut-up yesterday fooling everybody and carrying on like mad, huh?
I'll say. See, I sure pulled a good April Fool gag on my girl. She falls for anything.
What'd you do, Danny?
Well, I called her up and I said, this is Robert Taylor speaking. Will you marry me?
That's cute. What'd your girl say?
She said, yes, just as soon as I get rid of that cluck I'm going with.
Well, you certainly fooled her, all right.
You ought to hear the gag I pulled on my boss, Mervyn LeRoy. I sent him a bomb. Yahoo!
You sent him a bomb? Did he get it?
Oh, I think so. I can't find him.
Why, Kenny, you're just making that up because I saw Mervyn LeRoy on the street this afternoon.
All of them?
Yes, all of them. Now, let's forget about April Fool's Day because it's over and done with. How about singing your song?
Okay, I'm ready.
Hold it a minute, Kenny. Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Take it, Mary. Here you are, boy. Here's a tip for you.
A tip?
Yes.
Hi-ho, nickel.
Fresh guy. Don't believe him, folks. It was a quarter.
Must be cheap material. It shrunk.
Never mind that. Who's the wire from?
Oh, look, Jack. It's from Fred Allen.
Oh, that Mongolian? What's he got to say?
Dear Screwball.
Hmm.
Understand you are starting a new picture called Man About Town. If you're the man, get out of town before it's released, my dear.
Oh, he would have to put his 2 cents in.
That's a hot one.
Sing your song, Kenny, or I'll put you back in the trunk. That Allen's going too far.
It wasn't on the island of Capri. It wasn't on the beach at Waikiki, nor at a perfume counter in Paris that we met. And yet, something in the air was continental. There were moonbeams caressing the sand. I was feeling young and sentimental at a little port stand. Gallantly, I handed you the mustard. Then you curtsied, I kissed your hand. Inwardly, my heart was getting flustered at a little hot dog stand. The bubbles in our soda pop just hit us like champagne. I guess that we had 5 or 6. From somewhere in the distance came a Viennese refrain. Or was my fancy playing tricks? Then and there the spark of love ignited. It was real and the meeting was grand. To our wedding breakfast you're invited at a little hot dog stand. There were moonbeams caressing the sand. At a little hot dog stand. Gallantly I handed you the mustard. Then you curtsied and I kissed your hand. At a little hot dog stand. The bubbles in our soda pop just hit us like champagne. I guess it's going to be at 5 or 6. From somewhere in the distance came a Viennese refrain. Or was my fancy playing tricks? Then and there the spark of love ignited. It was real and the feeling was grand. To our wedding breakfast you're invited at a little hot dog stand.
That was A Little Old Hot Dog Stand, sung by Kenny Baker. And very good, Kenny. I enjoyed it immensely.
You're not the only one, sweetheart.
Modest little devil. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a rare treat in store for you. Mr. Don Wilson, that eminent American author, has written another... I can't get over that wire from Allen. You know, Don, that guy's got a lot of nerve taking up my time with those cheap gags of his.
I agree with you, Jack. Did you hear him Wednesday night?
Yes, him and that Maxwell Strauss stuff. He's about as clever as Simple Simon.
Well, I think it's marvelous the way Fred makes up his gags as he goes along.
Oh, you do, eh?
Yes, he certainly knows how to ad-lib.
Ad-lib? Sure he ad-libs. He has to. He can't read a script. Why, do you know, Don, he has nothing in his library but life, look, and click. I happen to know.
Well, Jack, if Alan can't read, how does he order food from a menu in a restaurant?
He goes to a cafeteria where he can point. He took up juggling just so he wouldn't drop a tray. Anyway, getting back to our program, Mr. Don Wilson, that eminent American author, has written another... Pardon me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bennett, this is me again.
Rochester Van Jones, I'm not talking to you.
You mean I'm still on the blacklist?
Certainly. Goodbye.
What's the matter with you and Rochester, Jack?
Oh, it's nothing, Don. Forget it.
I know.
Quiet. Where were we, Don?
Well, you started to tell the folks about my play.
Oh, yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Don Wilson, that eminent American author, has written another of his famous short playlists, which are bringing him nearer and nearer to the Pulitzer Prize. Take it, Wilson.
The scene is the home of Mr. and Mrs. Luke Miller, who live in a cabin just part of the Mojave Desert. They are just finishing their evening meal. Music, please.
Well, Ted, I thought our dinner tonight was excellent, especially that tempting and delicious Jell-O.
You're right, Luke. It was worth going 50 miles to the nearest grocer to get it.
I'll say it was. Who can that be? We haven't had a visitor in this forsaken spot in over 3 years.
Luke, I told you we should have built this out of camp on a highway.
Oh, they'll put a road through here one of these days. Come in.
Oh, I'm starving.
Look, look, Luke, it's a man.
Yes, yes, Tess, it is. Let's carry him over to this chair.
Where am I?
Take it easy, young fellow. What seems to be the trouble?
I'm a prospector, and for 3 weeks now I've been lost in the desert without food or drink. I'm starving, I tell you. Starving, starving.
Be calm, my boy. We'll take care of you.
Yes, I'll fix you a nice hot dish of beef stew.
No, thank you. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh. Then how about a nice cucumber salad?
Sorry, old man. I like cucumbers, but they don't like me. Oh, I'm so weak. I'm starving, I tell you. Starving, starving.
Be patient. We'll think of something, stranger.
Say, would you like a piece of homemade chocolate cake?
With nuts in it?
Yes.
Pecans or walnuts?
Walnuts.
No, thank you.
Well, good heavens, man, you gotta eat something. Isn't there anything you'd like?
Yes. Have you any Jell-O?
Jell-O? I'm sorry, old man, we had some, but we ate every bit of it.
But I'm gonna make it again tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be back. So long.
So long, stranger.
I'm starving, I tell you. Starving, starving.
Water product and commence coffee. That little drama, folks, was written by our own Don Wilson. And, Don, I'll have to admit that you're a fat Noel Coward. Of all your plays, that's the best one yet.
Well, don't give me all the credit, Jack. That was a true story.
I believe you. You know, one of these days, Don, you ought to...
Hey, Jack, look who just came in.
Oh, yes, our new movie star. Hello, Mr. Harris. You're a little late, aren't you?
I am a bit tardy, but by the time I selected my wardrobe and had my bath, time just fizzled away.
Well, I can imagine. Listen, Phil, because you're in the movies now is no excuse for being late.
Well, I was home studying my part. I've got a big day before the camera tomorrow.
Oh, you have?
Hey, Phil, can I have your autograph?
Later, son.
What a ham. I want to tell you something, Phil. I saw a screen test. Phil, I saw a screen test of you the other day, and believe me, it broke my heart.
Was it that good?
I'm talking to Phil. And another thing, Phil, while you're working in my picture, I don't want you to go around giving all the girls at Paramount your phone number.
My phone number?
Yes, phone number. I saw you with that blonde in front of the commissary the other day.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. She just asked me what time it was, and I told her.
Well, she must have a poor memory. She wrote it down. I can't see how you ever got into a suave, sophisticated picture like this one.
You should talk. You used to be a comedian in a burlesque show. Sliding Sam Benny.
Now, that's what I call greening it up. Mary, have I ever been in a burlesque show?
Only as a customer.
There you are. I just go in there once to get my father. He's nearsighted and thought it was grand opera.
Who is he waiting in the alley for, Gallicherchy?
I didn't inquire. And now, Phil, if you can forget you're a movie star for a couple of minutes, how about a band number?
Okay, Jackson. The boys and myself are going to play a popular little ditty entitled Never Mind the Bread, Sonny. Pop will be home with a bun.
Now, Phil, stop with those epigrams. Now, what are you going to play?
All right. Mary and I have been rehearsing that new song, I Go For That, and we're going to sing it to each other.
Oh, well, that's a novelty. Say, Mary, you're going to sing with Phil, eh?
Uh-huh.
That ought to be cute.
Well, this better not become a habit.
Kenny, don't be so jealous. You're not the only singer in the world.
Well, I'm the object of my affection.
Never mind that. Go ahead, Phil and Mary. Let's hear what you've cooked up.
Okay.
Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Is your real name Maxwell Stroud?
No, it isn't. I'm not Maxwell Stroud.
Don't lie to me, Daddy. Come right home.
Get out of here! What a pest. I wonder if I could catch him on flypaper.
The way you walk that silly talk, I go for them.
Your dizzy folks, your corny jokes, I go for that.
Your kiss just misses, your dancing is rough.
But you love that stuff, I guess you don't get around enough.
Your crazy poems, your letters from home, I go for that.
And furthermore, I just adore your kinky hair, that puffy stare.
To Mr. Cupid, I take off my hat.
You can't account for a silly place of all the girls you could have chased.
I looked at you and ooh, I go for that. You know, Mary, we'll have a home, a private phone.
I go for that.
Yeah, not only that, you'll have a ring, a pretty thing.
I go for that. But your salary misses, so cut out that stuff.
You mean the going will be rough?
I guess you just don't make enough.
But Jell-O's fine and I'm in line to get more dough. I heard that crack, you'll get the sack, you corny Joe from the Wilshire Bowl. Now, Mr. Benny, you take that right back.
Now, look, boys, you mustn't fight. You're breaking up my wedding night.
He'd better not, cause ooh, I go for that.
That was I Go For That, played by the orchestra with a special vocal chorus by Jeanette McLivingston and Nelson Harris. The Nightingales of the Jell-O program.
If you want the real lowdown, ask me.
Kenny, I don't recall anybody asking you. Now, keep still.
More darn singers on this program. Don't be surprised if I'm not here next Sunday.
You'll be here next Sunday and like it.
Well, I'll be here, but I won't sing.
You'll sing, too. Now drop it. And now, folks...
I won't sing good.
And you'll sing good.
Not very. Penny!
And now, folks, going from juvenile temperament to our feature attraction, tonight we are going to present... Pardon me, if that's Rochester again, I'll... Hello?
Hello, boss, are you still looking down on me with scorn?
Rochester, I want you to stop with these telephone calls. Do you hear me?
Well, boss, I said I was sorry.
Rochester, what you did to me, only time will heal. Goodbye. As I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to present...
What's all this mystery, Jack? What are you mad at Rochester for?
Don, it concerns only him and me.
Oh, why don't you tell him, Jack?
Yes, what did he do?
Very well, Don. Rochester hocked my polar bear. That's what he did.
He what?
You heard me. He pawned Carmichael for $30. Of all the low tricks.
For heaven's sake, Jack, didn't you know the bear was missing?
Of course I did, but Rochester told me he was playing the Orpheum. Then when I was downtown last night, I happened to walk by a pawn shop, and there was Carmichael hanging in the window, right next to a slide trombone.
But, Jack, how'd you know it was your bear?
He was wearing my new wristwatch. Don Rochester, he could have got $12 on that alone. I know. Well, we haven't heard the last of this. Oh, well, let's get back to our play. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to present a new and original comedy drama entitled Topper Takes an Aspirin. He's taken everything else. Now, in this vehicle, I will naturally play the part of Topper, while Mary... Oh, more interruptions. Come in. What are you... Well, I'll be darned. Hey, fellas, look who's here.
Hello, Slipper.
Slipper, my Well, this is indeed a surprise. It's good to see you again, Slipperman.
And I'm happy to see you too, Jackie boy. Well, look, everybody's here. It's like old times. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Slap.
My, you're getting prettier every day.
Thanks. How's your wife?
Vice versa.
Good old Slip. Doggone, it's good to see you again.
And Kenny and Phil, believe me, you're a sight for sore feet.
Hello, Slipperman.
Glad to see you, Slip.
And Don Wilson, my. Tell me, were you always so big, or don't I remember?
Well, Slap, to tell you the truth, I did put on a pound here and there.
Here, I don't mind, but there, it's unbecoming.
Same old Slap. You know, I haven't seen you in over a year. What have you been doing with yourself?
I've been all over the country. North, south, east, and uptown. I was playing in vaudeville.
In vaudeville? What kind of an act did you do?
I was a magician.
Oh, a magician. Were you a good one?
Sensational. You should see me pull the lining out of the hat.
Hey, that's some trick.
What are you doing out here in California, Schlepp, on a vacation?
No, I'm in business here. I opened up a little nightclub. Schlepperman's, how are you? Hey, siente. Look, if you're here.
Well, I'll sure be out there to see you. Tell me, Schlepp, have you got a floor show?
Have I got a floor show? My son, Tinkus, plays the drums. I play the ukulele.
Oh.
And for a feature, my wife wriggles.
Hey, that sounds great. You know, I'd like to drop in and see your wife do the hula.
Okay, if you're passing by, but don't make it a special trip, please.
Oh, she can't be that bad. Well, I wish you a lot of luck in your new place, and we'll be over to see you very soon.
Thank you, Val. I gotta travel along now. Aloha, everybody.
So long, Slap. Good afternoon,
son. So long, Slap.
I wanna go back to my little dress shack on the La Hacienda and 3rd Street around the corner.
Well, it's sure good seeing Schlepperman again. He's a nice little fellow. Well, kids, getting kind of late now. I don't think we'll have time to do our play. So how about saving it for next week? It's very long, and if that's who I think it is, he's in for a good bawling out. Hello?
Hello, boss. This is your bad boy talking.
Rochester, I told you before, I'm not making up with you until you unhock that polar bear. So goodbye.
Goodbye. Wait a minute, boss. That's what I called you up about. I got Carmichael out of the pawn shop. He's back in the house.
Oh, well, that's more like it. Now, don't you ever do a thing like that again. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Where did you get the $30 to get Carmichael out of the pawn shop?
I thought you weren't speaking to me.
Rochester, where did you get that $30?
The what?
The $30, where did you get it?
It could have been a legacy, you know.
It could have, but it wasn't. Now, for the last time, where did you get the $30?
I sold my AT&T.
Rochester, you never had a share of stock in your life. Now, if you don't tell me where you got that $30, you're fired.
Okay, boss. Your violin is now hanging where Carmichael was.
Oh, my... Rochester, did you pawn my slide of variance?
That ain't what the man said. So long, boss.
Rochester, Rochester. Can you match that color? He pawned my violin.
Here's something every woman knows. But her family is always eager for something new and different for dessert. It's not always easy to find, though, and that's why every week we try to bring you some new ideas. Tonight's specialty is a delicious combination called Jell-O Plum Mold. It's a shimmering mold of rich red cherry Jell-O with canned blue plums, the big juicy kind. It's easy to make, too, and here's how. Dissolve one package of cherry Jell-O in one pint of hot water and chill until slightly thickened. Then fold in one cup of canned blue plums. Mold until firm and, well, there you are. Quick, easy, and temptingly good. For cherry Jell-O brings you that incomparable, extra-rich flavor, as appetizing as fresh ripe fruit. It tastes just grand combined with the succulent goodness of juicy plums, so try this new dessert tomorrow. Ask your grocer for cherry Jell-O and surprise the family with a Jell-O plum mold.
We're a little late, so good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.